the old man, the things that are representative of the world, of Satan, and we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and then we are to put on the new man. Next week, I'm actually going to be talking about parenting biblical change. And I think sometimes, myself included, we do a poor job of actually helping our children to change. We try to get them to stop things without really changing. But on this sheet that I have put out for you tonight, and again, I can make more copies here tonight before you leave, there's a list on the left-hand side of things that need to be put off. Here's number one's a lack of love. Second is hypocritical judgment, bitterness, unforgiving spirit, selfishness, pride, boasting, stubbornness. Is it any of that in your life as a Christian? Again, as we talked on Sunday morning, talked to the Christian about putting off filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which means just downright meanness. And it was talking to Christians. Over in 1 Peter, talks about putting off being a hypocrite, putting off envying, and also evil speaking and so forth. And again, these things can be found in the Christian's life. In fact, I remember being taught in Bible college, I can commit any sin as a Christian that an unsaved person can, except the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a sad reality, that any sin that is found in the world can be found in my life as well. And so I need to be examining my heart. Now, this does not go in alphabetic order. This does not go in order of importance or anything like this. And again, the verses mentioned then in the second column about the sins are not verses saying this ought to be put off. It's just verses that include that sin in it. They've tried to just use one passage. And you will notice some of them look purple and others blue. That is only because when I went to edit things or change things around, it would actually click on the link to try to take me to that in my Bible program, and I didn't want to do that. So a few of them, they look a different shade of color that you can just basically ignore that if you'd like. And again, then on the next column, the third column, would be that scriptural insight column as well, what I need to put off and then what I need to put on in its place. And so it gives you a list of verses there. In each of these columns, there's just a list of one passage. Now, I would encourage you as a Bible-believing Christian, if you're struggling with one of the sins on the left, you would renew your mind by going to one of those passages in the second column, or the passage in the second column, and then trying to find other passages by cross-reference, by a word search. I was looking up, doing a word search today for something totally different, and just finding where it was mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, actually. And so you can do a word search, you can understand further what that sin is like, and then again, renew the spirit of your mind, see what you ought to be putting on in its place. And that again could be cross-referenced multiple times over. And so that is something that you could do through the list of verses in the third column. And then in the fourth column are things that could be put on in its place. Talks about love, talks about let God search my heart. Let me talk to you about that judging. The scripture says, judge not that you be not judged in Matthew chapter 7. But that's not talking about don't make judgments at all. In fact, the Bible's full of verses saying that we ought to make judgment. And even that passage of scripture in verse number 5 begins to open up. Talking about thou hypocrite. Shouldn't you judge first your own self and then judge the other person? What about the mote that is in your eye before casting out the beam that is in thy brother's eye? So again, we are to be making judgments. We are not to be making hypocritical judgments. And so that's why we are to put off a hypocritical judgment and then let God search my heart, and also then allow me to help my brother or sister in Christ as well. Putting off bitterness. One idea is you could put on tenderheartedness and being forgiving. Have a forgiving spirit instead of an unforgiving spirit. Self-denial instead of selfishness. Put on humility as you take off pride. put on esteeming others as you take off boasting and being conceited. And it just goes on and on. You will notice several of them down halfway through the page. Several of them you can put on contentment for covetousness and discontent. You can put on self-control later on in the page versus losing your temper or anger. And the lists go on. Again, it's not one. I would say for most things, when you put something off, it's not necessarily always the same for what you put on. For maybe the reason you're struggling with that sin is different than the reason someone else is struggling with that sin. And so you kind of come to the conclusion, why am I struggling with that sin? And then what is a Christ-like replacement for me in my life? So I would encourage you to use this. There's 78 here, and there's back in front of one page, and of course about two-thirds of another page of things that will help you. By the way, number 72 is bodily harm. We live in a day and age with that. Have counseled throughout the last number of years a number of people getting into cutting or something like that. Generally young ladies, other things that gentlemen may get into as well, doing physical bodily harm to themselves. And that's what it's technically talking about in that instance, or what I would refer to it as, and how we ought to be glorifying God with our body. So anyway, I just want that sheet to be very practical to you, and something you could use as a resource if you're struggling with an area in your life, to try to help identify what that sin is, maybe even define what that sin is in biblical terms, agree with the Lord. That is how we confess it. And then in order to forsake it, we ought to be going to the Scriptures and finding out what ought to be put into its place. With that now in mind, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians 5. The title of my challenge tonight is actually Keys to Biblical Change. And I want to give you some keys to righteousness. And they're all about our walk. Now, I have that sheet. I did not print that sheet out to hand out tonight. I can. Maybe I'll just email it out. But there are several things that the Bible identifies in our walk that really are important for us to understand as a whole that will help us for biblical change, no matter what the sin is. If we try to walk this way according to the Lord's Word, we will be benefited. The first one, I'm not going to have you turn to, but is a walk in newness of life. It says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And the idea is our walk ought to be different. Our walk ought to be one that is now a spiritual birth walk, not walking in the old man, but walking in the new man. And we could take several other cross references off of this. The Scripture says that we are also to walk as children of light. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, we are to be identifying as what looks like a Christian and what will have a proper testimony to the world. The emphasis on this walk is our testimony before the world. I remember dealing with someone a number of years ago, and I actually never confronted them about what I thought was a sinful thing that was in their life. And they said to me one day, we were going out in visitation, he said, now, Pastor, I've got this in my life, and I had never said anything to this point. And he says, I just want you to know whenever I go on visitation, I don't do that, because I don't want to be a bad testimony. Well, praise the Lord. They started to identify that this thing in their life may hinder others from coming to Christ. And thank the Lord that eventually they put it off completely. But at least they came to this conclusion this might not be a good testimony while I'm walking around trying to represent Christ to this world. So you ought to look at that in your life and see if there's anything that is actively in your life that others may be seeing that would say, wow, what a hypocrite, or if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian, or something like that that may dim the light of your testimony. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, says, I want you to walk as children of light. Again, use that as a motivation to identify things in your life and about your walk. You don't need to turn there, but 1 John chapter 1 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So there, that light is representative of God and who he is. He is the light of the world. We are then reflective lights. We then become the light of the world as well. Is your life a light? By the way, this is really good to evaluate if you have issues when you're at the workplace, because here's where you're with people day in, day out. What is your testimony like at the workplace? Begin to evaluate if you're getting caught up in lying, if you're getting caught up in some of the joke telling, if you're getting caught up in gossiping or tearing other people down, if you're just becoming just like everyone else. I remember a point in time like that in my life, already been through Bible college. And I recognized one day that I was kind of becoming more like them than helping them to become like Christ. And I had to stop and consider that and begin to take that before the Lord and ask the Lord to help me make some biblical changes in my life. Something I prayed about in the morning before I go to work, something I try to identify throughout the day. In fact, if I did find myself doing so, I would have tried to apologize and make things right on the spot. Again, it would be better for me to do that and even bring attention to what I did wrong than to hope they didn't see it. Because here they're seeing a sensitivity to it and the fact that I didn't want to be doing that. So again, I would encourage you to try to have that living testimony. Look later on in Ephesians 5, down to verse number 15, where it says something else about our walk. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's the idea of walking very carefully. That was first illustrated to me about a cat walking on glass. And I found that interesting when I went over to Israel, or when we went over to Israel. I was noticing on the top of one of the walls, they actually put in the cement glass that was going up and down on the walls. And I asked the guide or someone over there about that, and he says, actually, they do that for a majority to keep people out, but also to keep the animals from going about and getting into the place. He says the primary purpose was this, secondary purpose was that, and it made me think of that verse, walk circumspectly. If you'd ever see a cat trying to walk through an area, maybe had shards of glass, they walk very carefully. Just like you walk when you're going through the barnyard, maybe, walking very carefully. They walk very carefully not to get their paws easily cut. Well, as Christians, we ought to be walking very carefully. So again, evaluating our lives and what it ought to be for the Lord. Go over to Colossians chapter 4 with me. Not far away. Again, I'm just taking you through basically a word search I did when working on this in my life. And I wanted to know if there's anything that the Lord says about my walk that I ought to be paying attention to when I'm striving for biblical change. I'm heading toward the biggest one toward the end, or maybe even I might say the biggest two. Yes, the biggest two, which are next. But it says in verse 5 of Colossians chapter 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Again, notice who we are walking in wisdom toward, them who are without, meaning those who are on the outside looking in. It's the idea, again, of being very wise with how we walk, considering the testimony that we might have to those who are unsaved. And I'm not going to belinger that point that I've already made, but another great thing, not only walk in newness of life, not only walk as children of light, not only walk circumspectly, but we ought to walk in wisdom. We ought to be wise in our walk. Turn with me now to the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5. Let me first make mention of Romans 8:4. It says, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So this is a good point. The righteousness of the law, which is the things that we ought to be putting on, might be fulfilled in us who walk this way, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That reminded me then of the great passage, phenomenal passage in Galatians chapter 5, where it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, this is the idea here as a Christian. If I put off walking in the flesh, renew my mind to begin walking in the Spirit, as long as I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not able to commit those sins. It's only when I stop and begin to be fleshly in my thinking and become fleshly in my desire can I ever go back over here and commit that sin again. As long as I continue to walk in the flesh, it's actually written in the Greek especially in a note of impossibility. As long as you're walking in the Spirit, it's impossible to walk in the flesh, I could say. So we as Christians ought to then be walking in the Spirit. Again, just referring back to Romans 8:4, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in them who walk not in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. And then we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 18 of Galatians 5. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. By the way, what's this being under the law? What's this not being under the law? Well, the idea is this. If you are walking in the Spirit, you don't even need the law, because you're walking in obedience to God. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you have the mind of the Holy Spirit guiding you, you don't need the law telling you not to do something. Why? Because the Spirit's already leading you in a totally opposite direction. It's so liberating, it's so freeing as a Christian to be walking in the Spirit. If we could just practice that on a regular basis in our lives. I'm not talking about just practicing it while we read our Bible. I'm talking about practicing it all day long. If we are walking in the Spirit, we cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh, nor do we need the law. Why? Because we are set free. The Spirit of the Lord gives us liberty. So then look at verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, meaning if you're a Christian, let us also walk in the Spirit, the idea of being controlled, following under His command. For one last final term, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Now, in many respects, I could take the list of 78 things that I did for you and make it really, really, really simple. We could actually go down the entire 4th column and write love in every blank. Because the Bible teaches us that the greatest commandment, and in fact in one passage of Scripture saying, above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Saying, if you could just put on charity, it would take care of everything. Now, I don't want to oversimplify, and I think we ought to become more specific. But the reality is, if we would just love God and everyone else in this world, we would not need to put off anything. If we had a correct biblical love. That's why I believe God doesn't have any of these sins in His life, or one of the reasons we could say that God doesn't have anything, because God has a perfect love. God perfectly loves every one of us with an everlasting love. I remember hearing this statement, said I've made it, repeated it a couple other times. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore, And there's nothing that you can do to make God love you any less. He loves you with a perfect love. Because of that, God will never sin against you. Because of that, God would never lead you to sin against someone else. That's why walking in the Spirit is such a perfect solution. So again, it would make it overly simplified and probably not specific enough. But if we would simply, every one of us, just love everyone, we would not have any difficulties. Let's think about this. A lack of love. Well, of course, if we love properly, we wouldn't have a lack of love. Hypocritical judgment. Well, we wouldn't judge anyone hypocritically if we loved them properly. We wouldn't have bitterness toward anyone if we just simply loved them. We wouldn't have an unforgiving spirit against someone if we properly loved them. We wouldn't be selfish. We wouldn't have pride rising up and putting others down if we loved everyone properly. We'd never commit fornication. We'd never commit adultery. We would never have any of these sins in our lives if we just loved everyone else and loved the Lord with all of our heart. And so in Ephesians 5, it talked about walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So there's the comparative. But look here in Romans chapter 13. Look at verses 8 to 10 and I'm done. Owe no man anything but... Now, the owe no man anything is a connection to the verse before. But he's saying, you do owe people this. You owe people love. But to love one another. Did you ever look at it that way? I actually owe people love. I'm actually indebted to people. And I ought to love them. I shouldn't be indebted to people for anything else. I should not be indebted financially to people. But I am indebted to love them. Because God is love and through us wants to love everyone else. And so the only thing that we ought to owe to anyone is to love one another. Look at this. For, here's the reason, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Do you need someone to tell you don't steal if you love that person properly? If I love Josiah with a biblical love, would you have to tell me, hey, don't ever steal anything from Josiah? No. I might borrow a few things. Is that okay? No, but I wouldn't keep them. I'd return them. And I wouldn't steal anything from him if I really loved him. In fact, it happens in relationships, but at that time, it's a hatred and not a proper love. But if you love someone, you wouldn't steal from them. So he says, you know what? You'll fulfill the whole law if you just love them. So why do people break the law? Why did Christ have to come? Because we don't love perfectly. The only one we love perfectly is ourselves. By the way, we haven't been commanded to love ourselves. That's a bent philosophy from the world. You just need to learn to love yourself. I don't need to learn that. I've got that ingrained in me since birth. I'm not sure if it came from my mom's side or my dad's. But I think it came from both. Not to put them down, but isn't that true? That is. So he goes on to say, for this... thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It could be briefly comprehended on this sheet, complete column, love, 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 the whole way down 78 times. So, let me get you to stop and think about this. Any sin on the left that you are committing reveals that in at least in that area of your life, you are not walking in the Spirit and you are not loving. Part of renewing the spirit of your mind would need to be striving and asking the Lord to lead you in that area and asking the Lord to help you to love that individual in that situation. fact, you may assess it in your life, and maybe you're speaking gossip, but it's generally only about this person or only about this kind of people. And so you need to evaluate that. Well, I must not be walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit's not going to lead me to gossip about them. And I must not love this person if I'm willing to gossip or willing to listen to gossip about that person. Then I must not be loving the person they're talking about. Or I must not be loving the person that I'm talking about. So again, that can be part of our evaluation as born-again Christians. Again, it can be briefly comprehended in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're already loving yourself. And be reminded, biblical neighbor is anyone you come in contact with. By the way, that would even mean through social media. There ought to be love that direction if that's what you use. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So I hope that this brief challenge tonight can help you in your life, again, about the keys to biblical change. Just giving you some examples, 78 different offenses mentioned here, the verses that mention the offenses, the verses that mention things that can be put on in its place, and again, one thing that could be put on in its place. I would encourage you to look at it further and evaluate it more closely. Maybe actually the thing in the left or the right-hand column isn't what you need to put on its place, but you identify it's actually something else in my life. Also identify in that area I'm not walking in the Spirit and I'm not loving. Because of that, I'm not walking in newness of life. I'm not walking in the light, but I'm walking in darkness. I'm not walking in wisdom. I'm not walking circumspectly. Consider those other things that I gave to you tonight as well. So may they help us in making a biblical change. Remember, as long as I'm walking in the Spirit, I can't even commit that sin over there again. And so may we continue to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, lead us. Help us in our biblical walk. Help us to respond correctly in the situations that we find ourselves. Help our walk to be that which is in line with your word and with your Son. May our walk be also in line with how your Spirit would lead us and how love would have us to act. Guide us in the remainder of our service time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those listening online, we thank you for joining us. We're praying for you as well. Your name may even be mentioned once you go offline, or we go offline, as a prayer request. And so we pray that for those of you who can, would be able to return to us quickly.